Greetings this morning in the name of Jesus. It's a blessing to be here this morning. Thank you for those of you who prayed. I feel a great need of prayer this morning. I have a subject this morning that I think it'd be probably more fitting for a younger man to preach. Some of these old men have to do a few things too once in a while, so I guess we'll do what we can. This morning, many of you have remembered some, is that I've been preaching through a series of Freedom Under God's Authority. And this morning is lesson 6, and we want to look at the youth transition, and we'll basically be talking about teenagers. Now, I don't know what you think of, when we were beginning to have children, everybody was warning about the two-year-olds, the terrible twos. And so whenever your child turns two, it just gets terrible. Well, I don't like that terminology, and I don't think that's right. And then they say, well, wait till you have teenagers. Teenagers will, I couldn't wait. I enjoyed our teenagers. I loved our teenagers, and I probably made more mistakes teaching them than anybody did, but I can say I love the teenager stage, and I think teenagers is a wonderful time. They're full of energy, full of questions, and there's just a lot of challenges in a teenage year. And so this morning, as I talk about the teenage years, I feel very unworthy, or I feel very unqualified, and yet I feel like it is a subject that we're, like last Sunday, Julian had a rifle, and he shot at the idea of making good use of our time. Well, this morning, we've got another rifle coming out here. We're directly looking at teenage years, and so it's going to be just a wide-open subject. It's more of a subject centered on teenagers. So it's for parents and teenage youth, and all of us, really. So listen carefully, and hopefully you'll learn something, and that we can better know how to handle this transition stage. So I'm going to be using the overhead just a little bit this morning here. To help bring us back to where we were before. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs 4 while this thing is trying to get together. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs 4. I want to read that whole chapter, all 27 verses. It talks a lot about what we're going to be talking about today. Well, that thing was supposed to work for me. It's not working. There we go. Thank you. See, that's and that's what life's all about. Sometimes you're tapping on the wrong thing. All right, let's look at the idea of this overhead here that I had earlier here. Freedom under God's authority, and when you think of we talked about God, we talked about His authority, we talked about that God placed the authority on the Father. And so this morning, we're talking to fathers, and yet we're talking about teenagers. So the subject this morning is transition. So we have the youth stage, or the child stage, from 0 to 13, and unless we did that right, and I'm not saying you can't repair, But that stage is extremely important for this stage here to be a good stage, a stage that we enjoy or we find God's help in. And so we're thinking now of transition. We're thinking of a teenager turned 13 until the time they're 20, is that they're transitioning from under father's authority or parents' authority to under God's authority. So one of these days, this young child that you have will leave your house door and will go out on his own, and he'll be under God's authority. So I want you to think about that transition. What all happens in those years? And we've got three sermons here this morning, but we'll try to condense it into one. But let's go to Proverbs 4. Let's read this. And I'd like for you to think about the beauty of wisdom and understanding and how important it is. It says, "Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to know the understanding. And attend to know understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not," it's just talking about wisdom now, "and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee, and she shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver thee to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, I have led thee in the right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall be straightened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the paths of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto a perfect day. The way of the wicked is darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and they are health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and preserve lips put far from thee, first lips. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left, and remove thy foot from evil." Here it's just begging us, the teenage years are a time where there's a lot of information goes into a young person's mind. You know, they get out of the tractor and wagon stage and their little bicycle stage and tricycle stage, and now they start thinking about tractors and cars and horses and bigger things. And so there's just a lot of questions, a lot of friends and school. And so it's a beautiful time where there's a lot of information that comes into an individual. And basically what teenagers do is they look at that information that's coming in and they build off of it. They don't come pre-trained or pre-taught. That's part of our responsibility as a church and as teachers and whatever to help train them and teach them. So let's look at, and then again, the father is when a father is a godly father, he is wanting to protect, and then we heard that in our Sunday school lesson today about the men are protectors. And a father is a protector of the home. And when we are in submission to our father, it gives us protection. Same way the mother, when she rebels against her husband, she is opened herself up to God's or to Satan's way of rebellion and witchcraft. In the same way the child is under that authority. There's protection there. Doesn't mean that they won't ever face difficulties or face hard times, but there's a certain amount of protection that's there. There's one more overhead I want to look at, show you that I feel like is helpful. I should have highlighted it. You've seen this overhead before, but it just and that's the work of the home, is we're preparing the child's heart at a young age. We're preparing it to understand and accept God's authority and accept that Jesus Christ is his Savior, or their Savior, and we want to point them to Jesus. Now, none of us can make our children become Christian, but we can point them to Christian. I like to think of shepherding. You know, we're shepherding this young child, and God put the responsibility on the home is to shepherd this child, protect that child from getting run over by a car and kicked by a horse, and also to behave and that kind of thing. But as that child grows older, we are teaching that child that one of the days that child will see his need of being a sinner, seeing his need of Christ as a Savior in his life, and they will choose then to accept the new shepherd, or Jesus Christ as a shepherd. And the home is a place where we can help make that transition a beautiful time. Now, we all know that sometimes they might, at 12 years old, make that decision, and sometimes it's 20. And so that's a time that a child needs to, on his own, make that decision. And we as parents are there to help them. And I'll let you look at some of these things here. They only remember 50% of what they remember 50% of what they see, but only 10% of what he hears. So you may think, well, I've been teaching, I've been telling, I told you 10 times already. Well, maybe you did, but they didn't see it only one time. So you think about that. And what's important during this time is listen to what the child is saying. And I've often used that as a rule for children when they're growing up. When you talk about their fleshly desires and stuff, when you hear them start talking about those kind of things, then you know they're getting ready for that. And so you talk to them about some of those things. But again, what you want to do is observe what a person does. You can learn a lot about a person by what they do. And also the children, as they're watching mom and dad, they learn the most by what mom and dad actually do, the example they leave. So you can be looking at that a little bit. Let's move on here. So we have teenagers going from the authority of their parents to being under the authority of God. And that transition really should be it's never a simple transition. But if we do our homework right and we teach right, it should be a beautiful transition to go from parental authority to under God's authority. Every parent feels differently about how this transition should go. And they may have a different way of doing this. But the important thing is that we respect their preferences and honor them. That's talking to teenagers now. So you may look at Joe. He lets his children go to town every Friday night. Well, my dad won't let me go to town every Friday night. Well, so is my dad a bad dad and Joe's dad a good dad? You know, some of those things, we parents do it differently. And as teenagers, I think it's important that we accept that we're living it in Joe's house or dad's house. No, we're living in Joe's house. And so each father has a right or has a responsibility to how are they going what preferences they have in their own home. And one of the things I did thought about this morning, I was sitting here, that Teenagers, you've never been down this road before, but guess what? Dad hasn't either. A lot of times dads have never raised teenagers before, so they're practicing on you, and you're kind of learning from them. So in that, I'm just saying, teenagers, be gracious, be careful, maybe dad has not had this experience, maybe he's learning, but your responsibility is to be respectful and to listen and to cooperate with dad as his God-given authority in your life. God puts within us the urge for independence, self-control, and self-governing. And oftentimes that happens at the age of 13 or more, sometimes younger than other. You start kind of getting this feeling like, I know a little bit something. I kind of know what's going on, and I want to do it my way. Those kind of feelings get stronger and stronger. What do you do with those feelings? Parents then slowly give more liberty with responsibility, and they kind of help co-manage our activities and our decisions as we get older. Again, this process can be an enjoyable experience if submission and respect have a firm foundation. And that's why I guess the last message was on the child training message. That message needs to be firmly planted. It'll be a firm foundation. There is respect and there's honor. There's cooperation there. There's humility there. When you enter this stage here, even though that inner man kind of rises up and becomes more evident in the individual, if there is a proper level of respect there, taught at a younger age, it makes that transition so much more beautiful. And when we fight against our authority, that makes, and we'll talk a little bit about that later on. Some of the false concepts that teenagers can have, not necessarily do have, but they can have, is, and I've heard this several times, is that I must fully understand before I should obey. If I can't understand why Dad doesn't want me to go to town, then I should be able to go to town because I don't really understand why what his problem is. There's nothing wrong with going to town. But Dad says no. So I need to fully understand before I obey. That's a false concept. Or I should be allowed to try my own way and figure out which way I think is best. After all, I'm human. God made me. I should be able to make my own decisions. That's a false concept. And this one is something that I think we really need to look at more closely. We won't have time today to look at it, but it's young people hate to be micromanaged. And so, John, you need to get up at 6 o'clock. At 6:15, you eat breakfast, and 6:30, you're here, and 7 o'clock, you're there, and you come home at 12 o'clock, and every bit of the day is this micromanaged. And then after a while, the child feels like he has no ability to make any choices, that dad makes all the choices. You say, well, I'm just being a good parent. I'm just being organized. There is some room for that. But the thing is, if we're going to micromanage, we have to remember that it's a transition time. So if you're going to micromanage your child all the way through his 20, when he turns 20 and turn him loose, he won't know how to act. He'd be like a wild horse. We teach them responsibility. Teach them how to manage and walk alongside of them so that when they get 20, they've already know how to do it. So this is some of those things that are dangerous for parents. And yet sometimes young people can feel like they're micromanaged even if they aren't. So another thing is the question, the false concept is when they're not allowed to go do something, it says, don't trust me. They don't trust me. And I've had my children say that. And I just said, son, it's not that I don't trust you. I just don't trust the enemy. I think we need to teach our children that there is an enemy out there. There's someone out there, or there's a force out there that wants you to do wrong. And my job as a father is to help protect you from that enemy. So there's some things I don't want you to do is because it's not that I don't trust you, it's just that I don't trust the enemy. Think about that. Let's again remember, youth, that whenever we learn new things, sometimes it's difficult. But learning new things, learning difficult things is good for us. It helps build us, make us strong. It helps us depend on God. Don't avoid hard tasks just to make it easy on yourself. Now, one of our youth friends in our Sunday school lesson said today that you should run in the rain and sit on a rock. do something hard. That's really not that bad for you. Sometimes we have to do that. Sometimes we have to run in the rain and sit on a rock. Just there are some things in life, good things in life, that are difficult. And the beautiful thing is you have a parent who loves you and is trying to help you to mature and to grow. And so cooperate with them. Listen to them. It's good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. We need to be okay with the pain of growing and added responsibilities. Let's look at relationships now. I'm going to need to move here as quick as I can here. Let's talk about relationships between parents and teenagers. And it seems like it's so easy, so natural, so human, that when there is a difference in opinion between father and son or daughter, and the son doesn't cooperate, that there's walls that are built up. And so let's talk about relationships. Relationships are a tremendous blessing in maintaining an open relationship with our authority. Seeking counsel and asking advice helps you to build off of their maturity. And remember, obedience builds conviction and relationships. So, teenagers, I want you to think about this. As you're growing up, you don't have a lot of experience. Your experience is probably about that much in life in the teenage years. And your parents have had been through the teenage years and have learned a lot, hopefully. And so you get the blessing, you get the privilege of listening to their experience to help you to make right choices in that your learning experience. So to me, it's beautiful how God designed that, is God has blessed us with someone who we can learn from. And that is a beautiful thing about relationships. If relationships are proper, the teenager can learn from his parents and build off of their maturity. And I say this again and again, is there is no reason why in the world two generations have to go through the same mistakes to learn the same thing. We never get anywhere. If mom and dad made mistakes, so I need the privilege to make my own mistakes too, and we both end up not really growing, not really maturing. But if we can learn off of those who went before us, those who mature, our parents that God has blessed us with, we can learn from them, and we can build off of that. We don't have to go through the same things they did. Even though experience is the best teacher, it can be a very costly and a time waster. What do you think about that? We often hear the word saying that experience is the best teacher, and it is a good teacher. But if we all have to experience failure and faults, things, it's a time waster and it's very costly. As teenagers, honor and respect go a long way, and the Bible says that we should honor our parents, and that is a scriptural mandate that God wants us to do. It's God's authority over top of parents here. They have to honor their parents. God is your ultimate authority. We ought to obey God rather than men. Respect and honor are not circumstantial. And the reason I put that in, because sometimes we say, if dad loved me, if dad really cared about me, if dad took time for me, then I'll respect him. But if he doesn't, then I don't have to respect him. We can always think of excuses why not to honor, not to respect, especially if we're fighting that. I want to do something else here now. Relationships are built when parents and youth communicate. And how do we communicate? What is some tricks to communicating? And communication isn't, you have a good night last night? Yeah. Are you tired? No. Are you going to go to work today? Yes. That's really not communicating. You might say, well, that's just the way it is. But no, we do more than just say yes and no and just... So communicating is and I want to look at that a little bit, because Communicating is passing on Sorry, I'm a slow learner. Just push the off button. Okay, I did. Maybe it'll go off pretty soon here. There you go. See, the younger ones need the older ones, but the older ones need the younger ones too. All right, let's talk about communication now. We learn when a child comes from the age of 13 and start moving up, we treat teenagers differently than we treat the children. When I say differently, hear me through. We slowly learn that we could not just tell them what to do, no questions asked. You like when he says, "Can I ride a bike?" No, and we expect them not to ride the bike. That's no question to ask. But when you tell a teenager you cannot go to town, they want to know why. So we use a different tactic there. We take time and listen to them, explain to them why we don't want them to go to town. Because they are at a place where they need to understand principle behind the law. And if we take the time and explain these things to them, what we're doing is we're filling that brain within them. We're filling them with tools, things that they can refer to back later on. Because when a teenager will, oftentimes they'll go back to, "Dad said he don't want to go to town because of what temptations are there," and whatever you might have reasons why you have not wanting to go to town. So we look at teenagers differently. Then we look at the little children. We start explaining to them, and we treat them with respect. They need to know. If they have a question about something, we need to take the time and explain that to them. I think it's important in communication. It's an opportunity to teach them and to train them and to help them understand. But we need to go past the no questions asked to explaining why we don't do this. We shifted from, this is Danny Kinniston now, and I fully 100% agree with him. We shifted from commanding to leading. What do you think about that? You know, you sit down at the table, you eat your food, you eat your green beans. But over here, we lead them, okay? Instead of just commanding, we lead them. We explain to them more why it's a learning curve. It's a new way of relating to our children. We relate to the younger children that sit on our lap, and we give them a hug and a kiss, and we have this little relationship. But over here, it's just a bit bigger. And when you see your youth struggling, or when you see them struggle with some things, I think it's important for the parents to go to them and to talk to them. They said, "Dad, you were mad at me yesterday." "I was." "Yes, you were. You were upset." And I think as fathers and as parents, we should be quick to say, "Well, I'm sorry. I was wrong. I should not have gotten mad. I'm sorry for that. Will you forgive me?" Those are examples. Those are things that are very important for the child to see, that you set the example of how to right wrongs. Some of the hindrances to communication is a full schedule. You know, they leave in the morning at 6:30. You don't see them that night till about 6 o'clock. And they quickly eat supper and jump in the car. And they go to the youth and they come back again and go to bed. And next morning, they're all gone again. And how do you communicate with youth that have that kind of a schedule? And that's why sometimes dads say, "Look, you know, son, daughter, you've been gone enough this week. It's time you stay home tonight." There's nothing wrong with that. When you place an importance on communication, you have to have time. You can't teach somebody that's on the run all the time. And youth, understand that it's important for you to stand, because you're under their responsibility, the father's responsibility, and you need time with them. They need time with you. One of the other things about communication that's tough when we don't submit, when we start retaliating against our parental authority, right away there's wall, we avoid them. When dad comes in the front door, we go out the back door. Those are things that should not happen in the home, even though they probably did happen and do happen. I've heard them happening. But you don't get anywhere that way. You're going the wrong direction. Oftentimes, guilt. And there's sometimes individuals that have what they call an introvert personality. They just don't like talking. They just don't talk. I don't want to talk. Well, in order to communicate, you need to talk. So there's some times that we have to, as parents, do that. Make time for it. All right, this is something I'd like to talk about right now, and this is what's on the board here. Our children, when they come, they're not born again. They have a spirit, a soul, and a body. And so they're dealing, and when they get to 12, 13, 14 years old, these evidences, these fruits start coming out that they are not born again. And one of the most precious and wonderful things that you can do is to point your child to Jesus Christ, to a Savior, and to the Great Shepherd. And when that happens, when they become born again, they have a new spirit, and that a spirit affects their soul and body, and you will find that there will be a power within them that will be a tremendous blessing to their maturity and their being able to be fruitful and be a blessing to your family. But as long as their spirit is dead, they're not born again, you will find it to be a continual fight, because there is a carnal spirit within it, and when the child, that's going to resist you as authority in their life. All right, let's talk a little bit about now the journey of your spiritual journey or your youth have temptations sometimes that are above their maturity strength, and they need a spiritual authority to walk alongside of them. One of the things that happens is your child grows up and they're almost as heavy as you are, as big as you are, as tall as you are. And so we think, if you look at that child, we think that, well, they're big people. They should know how to handle it. They should know how to deal with that. And yet their young minds have not been through what you've been through. And a lot of times temptations come to them that are bigger and stronger than they are. And I've experienced that in our home there, that I had to learn the hard way maybe. Is then, when that temptation comes, they fail, they give into the temptation, and they don't really, they know they shouldn't, they know they're not supposed to, but the temptation is there to do it, so they do it. And they feel guilty and feel depressed and feel discouraged because they know they're not living right. Again, moms and dads, parents, it's important for us, as we sense and notice that change of attitude, change of thinking, we know something is wrong. I don't remember time, darling, my wife would say, honey, something is wrong. That child is, they're not, something's bothering them. And so I remember going down and talking to this individual, and we started talking. And at first it was, we didn't want to talk about it, but we kept going until we finally got it out. And then we dealt with it. We took care of the problem and asked for forgiveness and cleared everything up. And I remember very vividly, it was so special. I, as a parent, I wanted a good relationship with my child, and I thought if I would confront them, make them do something they didn't want to do, that we would go further apart. But guess what? After we got through and talked about this, he just looked at me and says, Dad, thank you for loving me. Thank you for caring about me. Because even though he was enjoying the wrong thing he was doing, he was guilty, and he knew he was going the wrong direction, and he was like, I need help. I need help to overcome this. And Dad came along and helped him overcome. Beautiful, beautiful opportunity that you have as parents to be that shepherd, to be that walk alongside and to communicate with your child. If we ignore this time, they will feel like you don't care about their spiritual welfare and feel unloved. Do you want your child to be that way? Do you want your child to feel uncared for and unloved because you're not willing to take the time and talk to that child? Teenagers is a very important time to stay in touch with their feelings. One of the things that I've noticed in our young people is they hate criticism, whether you're criticizing them or anybody else. And oftentimes, parents use criticism as a tool to try to make their children realize they're doing wrong or make someone else look bad so they won't be bad. I just like to encourage you that, I should say, never criticize, but be very careful when in criticism. Criticism is not really an upbuilding tool. Now, there is a time we stand for the truth and we say that, you know, this is wrong, this is right, and then lift up the right. But criticism as a way of destroying a youth, especially a teenager, to them, it's huge. When you criticize them, that means you are against them, and they feel like they're devaluated. So don't use criticism as a tool to help them improve. There's much better ways to do that than criticizing. Share better options. But do demand a certain level of complying. Don't micromanage every single step. Allow them for individuality. Talk about the changes that the authority that God has placed on you for them and how that as they grow older, that authority is going to be transferred over to God. And so that they'll, one of these days they'll be stepping out from under you and they'll be on their own with God, in a sense. Talk about that. Talk about and some of the struggles in that transition. And another thing that's beautiful is share your experiences, how it was when you went through that stage. You know, again, it's a brand new stage for them. They're stepping on territory they've never stepped on before. And when they can do it with a shepherd that loves and cares for them, and really cares about their spiritual need, it is such a tremendous blessing. I'm going to read something that Denny also wrote that I've appreciated. I copied it out of his book. But listen carefully. I feel like this is probably a mistake I have seen happen very often in parenting. The principle is that the older and wiser directing the younger is the way he should go, with the younger and inexperienced, one submitting to the older and receiving much benefit. This is talking about the blessing of having older, even older youth, older siblings, helping the younger ones, or parents helping the youth. One of the things that's really important in communicating and getting something across to the child is how you tell them, or how you approach them, or how you communicate with them. The great need is for calm, quiet authority. This is most important with young people. They are beginning to question issues in life. They are beginning to make decisions on their own. It is vital that you as a parent be firmly established in your authority. You're not backing down. Just because you talk in a quiet voice, a calm voice, doesn't mean it's not important. Sometimes we think the louder we holler, the more important it is. Is that true? No. When you start hollering, that means you are not sure where you're at and you're unstable and you're kind of scared they might not take it, so you holler louder, hopefully they'll get it. But actually what you're doing is you're driving it out of them. You're causing them to disrespect you because you're disobeying, trying to tell them to obey. So be calm and quiet in your given instructions, please. Listen to this. There should be no arguments, no debates, no raising the voice at all in your relationship. I'll read that again. There should be no arguments, no debates, no raising the voice at all in your relationships. This is always counterproductive. If you do, guess what? Go to them and say, look, I'm sorry. I got upset. I got angry. And I'm sorry for that. We don't have to get angry and raise our voice to make something more important. Listen, calm, quiet. See, that's how the Holy Spirit, any of you had the Holy Spirit holler at you? I don't think I haven't, not in my life. The Holy Spirit, it's always that still, small voice. But doesn't mean it's not important. It doesn't mean it's not real, not true. It's just that that's just the way that God operates. And God wants us as parents to operate. As a child learns to give up his own will on an adult level, there may be times that he will disagree with your direction. It is very important that you stay calm, firm, and loving. And Isaiah 30, verse 15 says, "In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." Young people need to be told no at times. This is your job. They need oversight as they learn to live in the real world. We need to come alongside of them and help them learn to live. When they are doing well and seem to be clearly in control, we can let up. But when they are not doing well, they need to be restraints and directions of a wise parent. Remember, the goal is as a young person who is clearly walking with God. When you get there, you will know it and everything will change. I know I'm going through a lot of things this morning. Again, I want to encourage you as parents, don't miss opportunities. You may say, "I'll catch it next week." Well, guess what happens? If they're living in failure this week and you don't do anything about it and you wait till next week, there's something happens to their conscience. After a while, they get kind of used to living in disobedience and disrespect, and their conscience gets hardened. And so next week, when you just finally decide you are going to talk to them about it, there's not near that sensitivity that was initially. So again, don't miss opportunities. Don't wait too long. Don't wait till they're already hardened and already stuck in the mud. Catch them before they get too deep. Establish accountability regarding personal needs. If you see a child that's struggling in a certain area, just every once in a while, how are you doing? And not in a criticizing way, but just in, I'm a shepherd. I'm walking alongside of you. I care about how you're feeling. I care about your struggles and help them walk through that way. And the thing that's so beautiful about all this, what I get excited about is, parents, you're teaching future parents. You do it right with this child coming up and gets married. Guess what? They have this experience to go off of, and hopefully they'll use that same experience and teach their children the right way. Isn't that beautiful? That is so beautiful. You have that, you can pass on that type of culture or lifestyle teaching that will be a blessing to them. I don't know if your plate is full or not. You probably have a lot of questions that I didn't even address, but it's time to quit. But God bless you in this beautiful opportunity. We have a lot of young parents here that have young children coming on. And I encourage you to study into this. Don't just go into it blindfolded and just hope it'll all turn out all right. Study and talk to older parents who've been through this journey and said, "What mistakes did you make?" I it was interesting. My dad had 16 children. So I went to dad. I said, "Give me some child training pointers." He looked at me and said, "Son, I made too many mistakes. I really don't have any advice." And I thought, "Dad, you've raised 16 children. You know advice." Well, he did have some, but what I'm trying to say is, it's important for us to look at those parents who have seemingly have communicated with their children and got some few things across. Let's talk to them, ask them for advice, and learn from their mistakes. You don't have to blaze a brand new trail. You don't have to try something totally different and expect it all come out beautiful. Learn from your elders. Learn from those that are older. And I encourage you to read the book about child training and helping. There's a lot of good advice in here about how to help our teenagers. And God bless our teenagers. I hope you're here this morning and you just love being a teenager. Even though it is a time of transition. It is a time of sometimes it's uncertainty, I could talk about how parents ought to help their child learn how to find a good job, how to make friends, what kind of friends they should go with, and what kind of place of service they should go to, and who they should maybe date someday, and the courting thing is another whole new subject that I won't be able to get into this morning. But parents, we have a beautiful opportunity to transmit, to help, and to train, to help these young people make wise choices and give them wisdom like we heard in Proverbs 4. Read Proverbs 4 again and again and again. How that it's important for us to cherish wisdom and to love wisdom. And with wisdom, get some understanding. sometimes there's a lot of wisdom out there, but there's not much understanding. And that's what parents are for, is to help our children understand. When I think of understanding, I think of when you tell a child to carry out the trash, and he takes it outside the door and dumps it. Well, he did carry out the trash, but he didn't understand. When he understands, he gets the trash to carry it all the way out to the burn pile and burns it, takes care of it. He understands what he's supposed to be doing and knows why he's doing it. So don't just give wisdom. Understanding is something when a child actually does it and it practices it. That's when they understand. Let's kneel for the Lord in prayer. Dear God, we bow before you this morning. Thank you, God, again for this opportunity. Thank you, God, for our teenagers. We love them. We care for them. We appreciate them so much. God, we just pray that as they look at life and look at a lot of these new things that they have to learn and to grow up and to adjust to and to becoming young men and women, God, we pray that most of all, God, they would turn their hearts to you and give their hearts to you and surrender their life to you and allow your Holy Spirit to be in their life and to help control their soul and their body into a right and a beautiful relationship with their parents and with their authority over them. God, just may your Holy Spirit continue to direct the parents that are here this morning. God, look, we know many times we made many mistakes. We fail so many times. And yet, God, we cry out to you. And we pray that, God, you would help us. You would help us to learn. Help us to become the parents that we should need to be. And God, just give us wisdom and direction and give us a faithfulness and loving and caring for the soul of our children. So God, we continue to direct our paths as we endeavor to follow you. We just desire, Lord, that our lives could just bring honor and glory to your name. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.